Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We also have with us today Dr. Sean McDowell. Sean is the co-editor of a new book, Sharing the Good News with Mormons, Practical Strategies for Getting the Conversation Started. He has chapter 2 as well as another section in this book. And chapter 2, as we've been talking about for the past couple of days, is Sharing the Reasons for God, the evidence approach. Sean, thanks for being here for a third show. And again, I just want to say how much I appreciate you and Eric putting this book together. And I think it's going to be a valuable asset to the Christian community, because many times a Christian might understand some things about Mormonism, but not real sure about some of the strategies that they could use in sharing that information with Latter-day Saints.
Thanks so much for having me on. That's my heart and passion. It's been a joy to be on the program, and looking forward to today as well.
Now, your history with Eric goes back quite a ways. I think you guys should talk about that. I think our listeners would find it fascinating.
Yeah, I think it was back in the late 90s when I first met you, Sean. You came to San Diego, El Cajon, actually, where I was teaching at Christian High School, and you were working with Greg Kokel. He was the person who started off a five-year sequence of apologetic days, that we had a whole day dedicated to apologetics. We had a parent night. We had chapels. We had so much going on. And I remember talking to you in my office, and my office had a lot of books, and your dad's book was up there, and you opened it up, and there was your name in there as well. You had written a chapter at that time. I don't know what it was called. I remember you asking me, well, you know, teaching high school, you actually get paid to do this. And so it was kind of fun to know you before you were a teacher. And then you ended up becoming a teacher at Capistrano Christian and have had a very successful time there. So it's been a lot of fun to know you over these 20 years. We've done a lot of different projects together. One thing that I enjoyed doing with you was the Apologetic Study Bible for students. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I do remember that meeting well in your office, because I was in a mentor group with Greg Kokel and wasn't sure if I wanted to be a youth pastor, be a teacher, and came down just to learn from him that day. Remember meeting you and just was impressed what you were doing with the students, very intentional, apologetic-centered. And that was one real key that got me thinking about teaching in a Christian school probably 2 or 3 years after that. And when I did, you guys shared a ton of your curriculum with me, which helped a ton being a first-year teacher. So I give big thanks for that. The Apologetic Study Bible for students first came out in 2010, and I had a chance to be a general editor for it. And it was a ton of work, but we targeted the top 130 questions plus that students have about God, other faiths, other religions, ethics, cultural issues, the Bible. And one of the features in there was on archaeology and the Bible. And another feature was on kind of fast facts, quick facts that people could find about atheism, about other religions. And then the one you helped us with, which is twisted scriptures. And you went through and got, I think, 60 or 65 of the most common scriptures that people really twist and ignore, and just wrote this awesome feature in the Bible. And the Bible's really done well. I mean, it's sold a ton, which tells me that not only adults, but this generation really does have tough questions, and they're looking for resources to help them make sense of the world.
Well, I know that you and I have shared curriculum together. I remember you did a marriage series, and you gave me all your notes, and I appreciate that because I stole from you as well. So it's kind of fun that we were able to do that with each other, because we were in the same kind of industry. We were working with kids. We were working with students who may have been bored with their faith. We wanted them to own their own faith, and that was a big part of what I did for close to 2 decades there in Southern California. And you're still working as one class a day, I think, for the Capistrano Christian. So that's awesome. But one of the things that I used to do every year, fourth quarter, is we would do comparative religions, and we would take our students to different sites such as a mosque, Synagogue, the Hare Krishna Temple, and even the Mormon Battalion Center in Old Town San Diego. And these students would go for a couple of hours and listen to the imam or the rabbi, whoever was the leader, and they would hear what these guys had to say. Now, I prepared the students before they did that. And you have actually done some of that kind of thing as well. In fact, you have taken trips that have lasted, I think, a week, going to places like Utah, doing a trip to Utah. Obviously, you're going to deal with Mormonism. And also Cal Berkeley. Can you tell us a little more about the Cal Berkeley trip and what you do and how you prepare students to be able to talk to atheists?
Oh, yeah, this is a trip that my friends that I know you know as well, who also contributed to the book, J. Warner Wallace and Brett Kunkel, first came up with this idea, I don't know, 12 or 15 years ago. And he came and started leading our first trip. Now we run our own trips. But the idea is we get students, high school students, sometimes it goes as low as 8th grade through 12th. We train them for months, which is usually lunchtime once a week, Sunday nights for 2-3 hour training on basic apologetic questions, how we know God exists, answering the problem of evil, how we know the Bible's true. Then we go up to Berkeley for 2-3 days, and we'll do a few things. We'll find some local atheists or skeptics to come speak to our students. We've had people from the Hare Krishna group come. We've had Unitarian reverends come and speak to our group. We've also interacted with atheist groups on campus, where we've had mutual dialogues. We've had different conversations. We've had them do presentations to our groups. And then we get surveys where we send the students out on campus just to get into spiritual conversations with people on campus. And what I found is the students, number one, love this kind of real life activity where their faith is put to the test. And number two, they come back really encouraged in their faith. I mean, we have nothing to be afraid of by the challenges by atheists and skeptics and other faiths. The only thing I'm afraid of is not training our students well enough to both emotionally and intellectually respond to the issues of the day.
I think that's excellent. I think putting them in a place where they have to take ownership. They have to be able to listen to what other people have to say. They have to be able to answer the objections and be able to have rational conversations. And the trip you take to Utah, you've done that several times, taking students to the Salt Lake City area. What does a trip to Utah look like? What are you doing when you come here?
Well, we get a big bus. It's about 15 hours away from Southern California. Head up on Monday. We'll spend Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3 full days there. And of course, we want to go right downtown and let the students see the temple, go to the museums, maybe go to Brigham Young's house, and really just see the sights, understand, learn about Mormonism, but also have a chance to get into conversations with people who are there, maybe people on the streets, maybe people who work right downtown there, maybe some of the missionaries who will give you tours of that area. So we teach our students how to understand what Mormonism is, but also how to have cordial, thoughtful, gracious conversations with people who see the world very differently. We will also go for a day, typically to BYU. And again, we're just there to talk with students, hear why they believe what they believe, how they practice their faith. And we'll go have conversations on campus. We'll go interact with people around the campus on the outside and look for students. And I think the students love it. Now, they get a little worried getting pushed out of their comfort zones and having to talk with people. But as you know, Mormons are some of the nicest people you'll ever find, and they're eager to talk about their faith. And when it's done, our students walk away just beaming, going, wow, I learned this, and I got to share my faith, and I got challenged here. And they really just love it.
About a year ago, I wrote you and I said, Sean, I just got rejected by a publisher for the book Sharing the Good News with Mormons. I had high ideas of what this book could do, but the one publisher I thought was going to want it, they showed interest, said no. And I'll never forget, you wrote me back and you said, you know, let me send an email over to Harvest House Publishers. I think this might be a good fit. And so that was great because they came back and they said, yeah, we want to do this book. And they wanted you to be a part of it. And I thought that was so good because to have your name on this book is a privilege to be able to be associated with you. But let me ask you this question, Sean. I think it might have been a little risky for you to have been part of a book like this. Why did you decide to participate with something that had so many risks?
Well, first off, thanks for being willing to partner with me. I know this was your idea and this is your baby, and you know so many people in the book and just did a ton of work to make this happen. So it was a privilege for me to partner with you. I'm a generalist. I've done some writing on issues related to Mormonism, had tons of conversations, have friends take the trips there. But I also write on intelligent design, evidence for the Bible, ethical issues. So I thought it was a wonderful partnership between you who really specialize in this, this is your focus, and someone like myself who's more of a generalist. And my goal was just to say, let's get a broader audience for this book than maybe just people who live in Salt Lake City and deal with this because of how many Mormons actually live there. So my heart and passion was just to say, this is a wonderful idea. There's a lot of really good practical ways to reach out to Mormons. Is there a way to get a bigger, broader audience by partnering together? And you graciously jumped in on it. Now, for me, the risk, first off, I've also written a book on same-sex marriage, which is much more contentious than this kind of writing. So I'm not afraid to write and speak on controversial issues. I just looked at it. I thought it's a wonderful book. I think it's a wonderful idea. I think it's going to help people that specialize in Mormonism, but also people who just say, gosh, I've got a family member, I've got a friend, I've got a neighbor. Just help me practically reach out to that person and know what to do. So when I saw the vision behind it and the chapters, I thought, man, let me just help however I can.
Besides evidence that demands a verdict, we've talked about the last couple of days, and Sharing the Good News with Mormons, which is out right now, and you can purchase that book through mrm.org, or you can go to amazon.com, so many different places you can get this book. What are your three favorite books besides those two?
Oh gosh, that's really hard. Let me say my book Ethics, which is spelled E-T-H-I-X, because I wrote that for students to help them wrestle through some of the toughest ethical issues of our day, whether it's issues of pro-life or war or, say, homosexuality. That was the first book I wrote myself, so it has a special place in my heart, and it's done pretty well. Another book, which hasn't sold near as many, is an academic book called The Fate of the Apostles. And it hasn't sold as many because it's a $100 academic book, but it was based on my dissertation. I spent 3 years just probing all the traditions and historical record tied to the deaths of the apostles. So that was just a labor of love that's become an academic book. And I've got a lot of good feedback from people. In fact, someone emailed me this week and said that book was a piece of larger research they did after 7 or 8 years of studying that ultimately drew them to the faith. So that was rewarding to hear that feedback from it. But since it was my dissertation and so much time and effort went into it, I'd probably put that one. So you asked for three, but I'll just give you two others. And, you know, actually a third one would be More Than a Carpenter with My Dad, because that book has just influenced millions of lives worldwide. So to partner with him on such an influential book was really special as well.
You summarized that book in an article for Christian Research Journal, didn't you?
I did summarize The Fate of the Apostles in Christian Research Journal, and in Evidence That Demands a Verdict, I came up with one lengthy chapter, like 10 to 12 pages, that really captures the evidence for the martyrdom of the apostles.
And just so you know, your book Ethics was a book that I had on my reading list that students could read. They had to read certain books to be able to get a grade, and I must have sold 60 or 70 copies over the years that I was there, and generally, the students really liked that book. It was really helpful to them.
Oh, good. That's awesome. I will send you a check.
You owe me. You owe me, my friend.
We've been talking with Dr. Sean McDowell. He is the co-editor of Sharing the Good News with Mormons, Practical Strategies for Getting the Conversation Started. He co-edited this with our own Eric Johnson. Sean, thanks for taking the time to be with us, and I hope for a lot of good things to happen with this book.
Guys, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.